Happy Monday, everyone. I have accepted the fact that in this season, I may sound like I am at war with my allergies, and it is because I am at war with my allergies. And in the morning, I don't know what it is about my allergies, but they mink me. Mink, mink. I have absolutely no reason to be sounding like I have COVID-19 when I don't. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm sorry if I'm gonna be sniffing like every 2 seconds. I'm sorry. Anyway, thank you for being here. Welcome to Everything Serves a Purpose. I wanted to start off by reminding everyone, or telling everyone if you didn't know, that we, as of last night, April 27th, there was a new moon in Taurus. And I'm sure that if you're energetically aware or in tune, you probably felt like a subtle shift. And you probably felt like there was a shift in energy that is a bit different than before. But with the new moon in Taurus, you may feel a sense of progression. You may start to feel that things are opening as far as new possibilities around you. But this is definitely an opportunity to focus on whatever it is that is going to nourish and support you long term. This is a good time to be intentional about where you fill your heart and your mind. Feel a desire to lay roots or plant yourself, or who you feel you should lay roots with or plant yourself with. This is a time of thinking about creating stability for the foreseeable future. So don't be surprised if you start thinking about long-term plans or what you can do in the present that'll fill the cups of your future, like basically preparation for the future and preparation for sustaining things long term. For those who don't care about astrology, oh well, you learn something anyway. For those that do, there we go. New moon in Taurus. But this episode is not about astrology. This episode is about communication and the importance of communication. So, first and foremost, it's important to remember that communication is multifaceted. A lot of times when people think about communication, they think about what you say, how you say what you say. Think about delivery. But communication is just as much about how you listen and if you're listening, as much as it is about what you say and how you say what you say. There are a lot of individuals that consider themselves to be healthy communicators because they know how to communicate a thought or convey a thought in a way that sounds healthy or mature. But when it comes down to listening, they have an inability to genuinely take a moment to pause and hear what someone is saying without premeditating what they're going to say next. Some people call that defensive listening, where you're not necessarily listening to understand or listening to consider or listening with humility. It's listening from a place of defensiveness and listening from a place of pride or listening from a place of ego, listening from a place of reaction. I'll speak for myself and in my experiences. As a child, I've communicated before that I was not the most talkative. Outside of my brother Day, I was not super talkative to many people. My brother Day, my cousin Catherine, my best friend Naomi, and my cousin Alex, I would say they got the most out of me as far as listening to me just talk. Outside of that, I was pretty reserved in my expression as far as speaking, because I don't know what it was about scripture, but I don't know what it was about scripture. My parents emphasized scripture so much, they were pastors. And it was certain things and certain scriptures that they would speak on or that they would share that would just stick with me, even as a child. And one of the ones that stuck with me was being quick to listen and so slow to speak. And I don't know why. Like, as I'm talking about 6, 7 years old, it was something about that was so powerful. And I always was just like, I don't want to be someone that's known as talking too much. Talk too much, talk too much. And I would be around peers and I would hear children get reprimanded. You know how black folk do with kids. You talk too much. You run your mouth too much. You need to hush. I would hear that and I would just be like, yeah, no. No one's gonna be able to say that about me. Like, actually, no, you're not gonna be able to fix your lips and say that about me and be honest. Like, if anybody would sit back and say, she was running her mouth, everybody in my family would probably look like, who? What? I know you lying on her. But as a child, also, I think it's because I'm the youngest sibling. And I was the youngest, well, I am the youngest sibling of a group of individuals with strong individual personalities. All of my siblings are so different. I'm the youngest of five. And no one in my sibling group was timid or shy or even soft-spoken. So I think naturally I kind of took on, like, I guess that'll be me. That'll be me. I'll be her. Yeah, it'll be me. But the thing about that though was that my parents eventually with time created a culture in our family dynamic where they tried to make room for everyone to have a voice. And at the time, I didn't realize that's what was happening, but I could look back on it and see, like, oh, that was very intentional. I love the word intentional, by the way. That was very intentional. That was very strategic. It helped us to be able to identify our thoughts, but also find language to communicate or convey the thoughts that we had. My parents would sit us down in a circle, me and my brothers, and they would let us communicate to each other what we felt they needed to work on. So my mom would go to my dad. I feel like this is something you need to improve on and do better at. This is something that you do that I'm not fond of, and this is how it affects me. Boom. My dad will go one by one, my most communicating to my mother and then to each of us as children. And then my oldest brother, he would go, Jonathan, and he would speak to my mom, to my dad, to the other brothers, to me. And then Ernest would go. He would speak to my mom, to my dad, to all of us, and it continues on. And for me, it was my moment of, I think it was the moment of realization for my household, like, oh, she really does observe. Like, she sits back and she is here, and sometimes we don't even see her or hear her, but she's observing and she is communicating things that are true and that should be considered. And so from an early age, I was taught, and I think we started that probably when I was like 7 or 8 years old. And we would do that like probably once a month, once every couple of months. And we were also the type of family that would sit down and have dinner together at the end of the day, come to the dining room table, pre-cell phones. And then when cell phones were a thing, it was like, leave your cell phone outside of the room. Even my parents didn't have their phones at the table. And we would sit face to face and have active conversations and communication with each other every night. And so it helped me to be able to have the tools to be able to communicate my feelings. If something is going on with me, if I'm thinking something, I'm feeling something, I'm processing something, it kind of wired me to not, although it was a beautiful thing with being able to identify thoughts and communicate them, it kind of taught me don't express your feelings unless you're asked. And I still deal with that to this day. I still have a tendency to hold my opinion in intimate relationships unless it's asked of me, or hold my thoughts, even if it has to do with my vulnerability or if I'm going through something. A lot of times, if someone doesn't ask about it, I don't talk about it. I don't express it. I don't share it. And it's something that I've been having to be very intentional about and mindful about. But in that wiring of you're going to say something that's going to make the people that you love uncomfortable, it also taught me that it's okay to have uncomfortable conversations and get up from it knowing that you are loved and that the person that's on the receiving end knows that they are loved. And in some situations, we end it with what I do like about you, what I do love about you, what I do appreciate about you. Sometimes we didn't. Sometimes it was just like, look, you raise your voice when you talk, and I don't like that. And next person, you do XYZ, and it makes me feel XYZ. Next person, you do. Like we had is, you know, it was just different. But nonetheless, I've been able to realize the importance of how difficult conversations can save a relationship. A lot of times, people walk away from relationships so easily or quit, so to speak, in relationships because they don't know how to have the difficult conversations. They don't know how to have the conversations that may make them uncomfortable because they have to say it, but may also make the other person on the receiving end uncomfortable because they're hearing it. Because criticism or an opinion that may make someone have to look at themselves in a way that they probably haven't before, it's uncomfortable. And of course, delivery is important because I'm also the type of person that has to be mindful of how I communicate things. But sometimes having difficult conversations and asking the questions can be the very thing that can spare your friendships, your relationships, even your work or professional relationships. With asking questions in every relationship that I've been in romantic, I'm speaking of, I always try to do a temperature check or like a report card. I'm a Virgo, so I'm a perfectionist, so I like grades. Some people don't. I do. I like to know, how am I showing up in this relationship? How are you receiving from me? What is something that I could work on? What is something that I can improve on? Every single relationship that I've been in, I've been that way. And it created a culture of being able to talk through things and express things and say, okay, what are you receiving from me? What am I receiving from you? How can we make this an easier and smoother emotional transaction? You know? But I've noticed that outside of romantic dynamics, when it came to friendships and even familial dynamics, I would find that avoiding conversations were the easy route because I don't have to deal with you every day. I don't have to see you every day. So I'm not even gonna worry about that right now. I'm not even gonna deal with that right now. And so weeks go by, and you don't talk to these people. Months go by, you don't talk to these people. And there's a shift in the energy. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know. One day we just stopped talking. I stopped checking on them. They stopped checking on me. There was always this root. And maybe the root was, I noticed that if I don't reach out to you, we won't talk. I noticed that if I don't hit you up first, we won't hear from each other. And it was kept in the mind, but it was never communicated or expressed. What's so hard? What's so difficult about saying that? Hey, I love you. I value this relationship. But I feel like I'm the initiator here. And I don't want to be the only person who feels like the initiator because it makes me feel like I'm carrying the weight of this relationship. And if I choose not to carry the weight, then the relationship will flop. But also, there's a reality of sometimes you have to have conversations with yourself where you have to come to a place of acceptance of adjusting your expectations in different seasons. How someone may be able to show up to you for you or with you in a past season may not be the same way that they'll be able to show up for you in the present or in the future. Sometimes the details or the specificities of someone's life changes. If you are friends with someone when they're in a relationship, when they're single, when they get into a relationship, your expectations have to change a bit because now they're not moving like a single person. They're moving like they're in a relationship. Or if you're friends with someone that didn't have children and all of a sudden they have a child, there's a shift that's going to take place because the child is the priority, not the friendship. Or if you're friends with someone in one season that works a specific job where they have more flexibility and time to hang out or be outside, and they shift to a more corporate or more time demanding position, it's gonna look a little different in your relationships. But There's a reality of communication has to take place with yourself first. Having the conversations with yourself. Listening without judgment to yourself. That way, when you show up in your relationships, romantic or platonic, you can come from a place of being able to listen without judgment to the other person, being considerate of the other person, being kind and gentle with the other person in your exchanges, listening with humility, but also speaking from humility. Another thing that I noticed about myself was because I was more on the quiet side as a child, as I've gotten older, and as I started going to therapy, especially in my late 20s, which hasn't been that long, I noticed that I went from one extreme to the other. So I went from I'm being super mindful of what I express or what I communicate, and I don't share much to I need you to know everything that I'm thinking because I want to make sure that no one takes advantage of me or doesn't know what's on my mind. And so then it became I was like overzealous in the way that I communicated because I wanted to make sure that I was an advocate for myself and my feelings and my emotions. And so I had to find the balance. I had to make sure that if I was in a conversation where I felt wronged or where I felt like I needed to be an advocate for myself, that I will also be able to let someone advocate for themselves and make room to be an impeccable listener. And especially in a romantic context, it's so easy to feel like you're trying to convey a point or get a point across. And so the conversation becomes more about, I want you to hear me and I want you to hear my point more than I want us to come to a resolve. But when you look at relationships and when you look at communication, when you come into a conversation, what is the goal? Is the goal to mend this relationship? Are we on the same team? Because then it goes from being an argument to a disagreement. We're not agreeing right now, but we don't have to go at each other like we're on opposing teams. We're on the same team, but we have different perspectives. What is your perspective? What is my perspective? How can we merge the perspectives and make each other feel validated? Make each other feel considered. Because another thing about communication that can sometimes make communication go left is that no one feels validated. No one feels seen. No one feels heard when that is the goal of the individual. Everyone wants to be heard and understood and considered. So, what happens when you make up in your mind, I want to listen in a way that even if I may disagree with what they say, I can still validate their perspective. I may not agree 100% with what you're saying, but I can acknowledge that I understand where you're coming from and work from there. Sometimes something like validation in conversation or validation in communication can be the very thing that disarms a person. And it requires humility. When you have to validate something, when you go into a conversation on, I know that I have to validate this person and I have to validate what they're saying, it requires you to listen humbly. It requires you to listen from a place of understanding and willingness to understand, as opposed to listening from a point, from a place of trying to make a point or defend what your opinion is. And then finally, there's a reality in communication of a place of acceptance with what someone is saying. Sometimes when we love or care about someone in difficult conversations, especially if it involves boundaries, the first thing we want to do is defend, 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 and then also try to convince or persuade someone to feel something different than what they're feeling, or convince someone to not do what it is that they're choosing to do, like create a boundary. It's okay to let someone walk away. It's okay to let someone have a boundary where they say, I don't think this is working out for me, or I don't think that this friendship is healthy for me, or I don't think that it would be smart for me to continue to move forward with the energy of this dynamic. If that is something that is communicated to you or towards you, make sure that you repeat something for the sake of interpretation. Are you saying you're done completely, or do you need a moment? It's okay to ask questions and confirm what someone is saying, or confirm whatever is being communicated, and then move forward according to what has clearly been stated. It is not your job to convince or sway someone into doing what it is that you want them to do. That's control. That's ego. Even if it hurts, acceptance can also be one of the most powerful forms of communication. So, this week, as you navigate your relationships, whether it's professional, platonic, romantic, whatever the case may be, pay attention to how you communicate and observe your communication patterns. Observe the way that you listen. Observe the way that you speak. Observe your tendencies in communications, in communication, in settings where you're in a communication dynamic, if that makes sense. I feel like I made that wordy, but observe yourself and how you communicate. And also take a mental note of how you could improve on your communication skills. Could you do better at validating people when they have an opinion that is different than yours? Can you do better at pausing and trying to understand instead of defend? Can you do better at being honest about what you genuinely feel instead of being passive or beating around the bush? Can you be more intentional about how you communicate with the people that you love? Can you start managing your expectations differently so that you spend less time walking away and detaching from people and more time sparing the relationships that you have by simply adjusting the expectations that you may have for the person out of consideration for what they have going on or consideration of your heart? Observe the way that you communicate. Be patient, be kind, be generous to yourself first and foremost, so that it is something that you could offer the people around you. Give it a try. Y'all know I try to end with a challenge every week, so that's my challenge for this week. And this week, I am transitioning into one episode per week. So I hope that this week's episode will stick with you for the rest of the week, and that it'll transform the way that you communicate. Have a good one, and remember, everything serves a purpose.